Good night, and good evening, I should say, and welcome to Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's topic is The Great Reset Has Begun, brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Darkwater, Game Over, and two-time delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention. Please help us with a donation at donate.eamedia.online. Or buying some bling at store.eamedia.online. Please help keep the truth online. We open with a brief prayer for our nation. Heavenly Father, we pray we can survive the dark days coming and emerge into the light with your great glory and your hand. The all-knowing, we know not, but you know the path, and we follow your path. We pray that you guide us in the right direction. Keep us safe and bring us to the next chapter of this great nation and of our great world, your great creation. We pray these things in your heavenly name. Amen. Shout out to our patrons, Lisa, Reverend Dave, Alicia, and Catherine. Also, we ask our listeners to share not only my podcast, but all the Eternal Truth Media podcasts. We have several great, really great guests and great hosts. And pass it on to your friends. If you can shoot out a nice heart, flower, whatever you can do from the app you're running, that's great. A couple of dollars to donate.eamedia.online. Wonderful also. Keeps the show on the air. Believe it or not, these things aren't free, and I'm blessed to be able to share this podcast, and glad that it exists for us to have these discussions on. So tonight's topic is The Great Reset Has Begun, and we don't even realize it. Most of us don't realize what's going on. And it's right under our noses. So we're going to begin that topic shortly. But I did a little reading. Some people read the Bible. Some people read romance novels. Some read the newspaper. Some read blogs online. Some listen to podcasts. Me, I sit and I read the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and other great works. A couple of interesting facts about the Constitution. You know, one of the things, because part of tonight's topic is this, what we call the Great Reset. Democrats and liberals have said for quite some time, they're saying the Constitution is obsolete. It was made for times of old when firearms were black powder and, you know, religion ruled and God existed on this planet. Well, they've gotten rid of God. They've gotten rid of our Constitution. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we have some issues with the Constitution, and some things are really dumb. And I'm going to point some really interesting things out about the Constitution. And why it's causing us problems, and why it shouldn't cause us problems in other cases. So one of the things that I was thinking about was the monetary system. You know, there's this big thing about cryptocurrency, and part of this great reset is the fact that they want to go into a worldwide digital currency. And they want all the currencies ruled by the nations and by the countries. Well, what does it say about money in the Constitution? The Constitution says that no state shall enter in any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. Now, that's kind of interesting. So the states... It specifically states no state shall enter in any treaty, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. Doesn't say anything about corporations making their own money, does it? Doesn't say anything about you and me making our own money, does it? Something to think about. So according to the Constitution, we can coin and print our own money. We just can't consider it a state standard or a federal standard. Fascinating. Now, we talk about the citizens. Now, amendment, Constitutional Amendment 14, ratified July 9th, 1868. Now, you got about five different amendments to say you can't be you can't discriminate against sex. You can't discriminate if you're black or if you were a slave. Why do they have them? Why do they need them? Amendment 14 clearly states that no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law. Now, isn't it interesting that in the Constitution of the United States of America, in Article 14, in the it ratified in 1868, there's no mention of color, sex, race, or creed. It uses the term person. Now, isn't that neat? Isn't that neat to use the word person? Because people are persons. People aren't black. People aren't white. People aren't straight or gay or religious or not. People are people. People have the same rights. And it's granted in the Constitution. We don't need an Equal Rights Amendment. We don't need any other amendments to the Constitution of the states or the nation for equality. It's already there. Why does nobody ever mention that? You know, and the other thing is, when you're talking about the laws that apply to citizens versus government entities, in general, the Constitution governs the federal government. The federal government can set laws for anything that's federally controlled. National park, federal government, federal agencies, they can set the wage standards, they can set any rules they want, but they can't regulate individuals with the exception of those things which have been put in the Constitution. In 1913, there was an amendment added that allowed the Amendment 16, February 3rd, 1913, the Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among the several states and without regard to census or enumeration. Boy, that's a nasty amendment, you know? That's wrong, because the government clearly initially stated that, the Constitution stated that the federal and the states are supposed to be kept separate and states are supposed to have their rules. If the Constitution were fair, they would tax the states because they control the states, not the people. You know, there's a lot wrong with the Constitution. There's a lot right with it for sure. There's a lot of stupidity in it. And a lot of things were meant for days gone by. You know, it's kind of like the Bible. The Bible is written by the hand of God, but there's always interpretations and people that educate on the Bible that show different things. Like, for instance, in Genesis consists of four different books by four different authors. They were never merged. The great hand of God managed not to merge those four books. Was there an intent to that? I haven't figured that out yet, but it's very confusing when you hear the same story four different times and with slight nuances that change rather than have a merged story of creation. The Constitution is the same way because there are conflicting amendments. There are amendments that are irrelevant. You know, you can't get rid of an amendment once it's put in place. They put in the amendment to abolish liquor. It's still in there. then it's repealed in a later amendment. Boy, is that stupid. Why can't we just eliminate it? Why can't we edit it, change it? Really dumb. Anyway, that's my preamble. Just kind of an interesting, some interesting things that have cropped up. We're going to go into that more detail in a future podcast. We're going to go over the Constitution and its failures. You know, if we were smart, we'd all get together and rewrite the darn thing. Anyway, the Great Reset has begun. So what I'm going to ask you all to do, you all have your homework on my podcast. I don't let anybody not think. This is a thinking podcast. This is for people that are willing to go out and engage with the world. So you got your homework. Your homework's going to be to watch some non-standard, non-mainstream media. OAN, RT America, Newsmax. Maybe Little Fox. And listen to what's going on. You know, the critical race theory is one of the big things. You don't hear it talked about too much, but you see it infiltrating. You notice we're talking about that a lot, and suddenly it kind of started to vanish. Well, it's not off the plate yet. They just don't want anybody debating it. Yeah, the Republicans back in the 60s during all the race riots and the great freedom movement for the blacks, the Republicans pushed desegregation. And the Democrats just recently were pushing segregation again. They want to resegregate. Critical race theory is just that. It's segregation. It's pitting black against white and white against black. It's dealing a blow to history. It's blaming, putting the blame for past history on the current population. You know, if we did that, you know, I think we should all blame Eve. Got to go back and blame Eve. Who's the really evil person in humanity is Eve for deceiving the man and putting the snake first, putting that evil out there for eternity. We blame one person. We blame Eve, and we don't have to blame anybody else. Because if I'm responsible for the slave trade in America as a white male, then I guess I'm just as responsible for Eve and Christopher Columbus. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. Time marches on. Things change. I had nothing to do with the fall of the Roman Empire. I'm not going to give reparations to them. Why do I say that? Because half the people that were involved in that are living in America and own slaves. It's absolutely ludicrous. But their goal is to pit black against white, white against black, indigenous against the colonists. You know, United States and North and South America had no population. It was a free world with where the birds and the beasts roamed free. Until the Asians came over across the Bering Strait and came up by boat into South America and took over the country. And you know, there were riots between those different races. Those from the north, those from the south, when they met in the middle. Various tribes, each one was essentially a colonist of this country. Yet we blame Christopher Columbus. Folks, you can't be doing that. But that's what they're trying to do. They're pitting the people with this issue now, you know, mask and no mask, various strains of this thing that's going on, D, Z, B, you know, there's a whole list of them. CDC has a list of about 30 going through the year 2022 that they're anticipating. How can you anticipate that? Variants of a disease. Not unless you plan it. You can't anticipate it. Pitting one person against another, one group against another. They want to unite with the rest of the world. They want to unite with the International Monetary System, the European Union. They want to become one world order. However, now there's a big however to that. The big however is that they're not including Russia and China in that new world order. What they want is to have three great nations, Russia, China, and the rest, whatever you want to call it. But you can watch these things creeping, and we're not even doing anything or talking about them. You know, they're pushing this infrastructure bill. And you've got these rhinos in Congress that are bowing down to the liberal left and allowing a dangerous infrastructure bill to pass. Everything that this current administration is doing is designed to degrade and denigrate, to damage and hurt middle class and average middle and lower class white American population. Folks, I'm not racist. I'm not a white supremacist. Don't call me that because I used the word white and said that they're going against the whites. But that's what they're doing. Look at the infrastructure bill. It provides resources to poor black communities. It provides money to poor black communities. It provides voting resources to poor black communities. And there's poor white communities too. Go down to some of the southern states, you'll find whites are poorer than the blacks. Go down to West Virginia. What are they doing for West Virginia? And they're going to make us buy electric cars. You know, they're going into this thing with more and more. They're pushing these cars. But how, you know, they want by 2030, they want to get rid of all gasoline-powered cars. Now, think about this. And this is part of this infrastructure bill. They're already pushing a California-style tax. They want to put a per-mile tax. They want to put a tax on gas-powered cars. This one, a taxi to death unless you buy an electric car. Here's the reality of an electric car. And they're pushing this in this infrastructure bill. It's part of their new regime, their green, clean and green, new green deal, green new deal. The reality is, let's say you work 5 days a week. You have to go to an office somewhere. What do you do now? So now you drive back and forth every day, and at the end of the week, you go out maybe and put $20 or $30 worth of gas in your car. What do you do with an electric car? That's a good question, because you're working 9 to 5, 9 to 6, 8 to 7. You get to work, maybe, I mean, hopefully they would have a charging station. They're going to charge you for that. It costs a lot of money to charge a car. You have to have a high voltage charging station at work. We'll take that all out of your salary. And if you don't have that, let's say you work at a Wawa or 7-Eleven, for those who are depending on what state you're in, or one of the other quick stop Or maybe you work at a grocery store. Who's going to pay for that electricity if they put up charging stations? If they don't put up charging stations, then when you get home at night, what do? You got to plug your car in? Do you know how long it takes to charge an electric car that needs a full charge? If you plug an electric car that needs a full charge into a 110 outlet, it takes 22 hours to charge that car. Plug it into a 220 outlet, it takes about 12 hours to charge that car. The fast chargers run on 440 volts. Virtually no houses have that. To have that installed and to have the infrastructure put in your house to charge your car on a quick charge, which is still a few hours, costs tens of thousands of dollars. That price is never going to come down, folks. Electric cars, as they are today, are completely useless. They're great in the big city where you drive a mile or two or you sit in traffic most of the time. And even that's not great, because imagine sitting in the traffic in the winter trying to heat your car. And you're draining your battery while you're sitting in traffic and you run out of juice just because you have to heat your car in the middle of winter or keep it cool in the summer. Yeah, a good friend of mine, we're driving in his Ford Escape that he had, one of the newer ones, and it has one of those engines that shuts off. It traffic lights, it shuts off and it cuts your air conditioning back and you start sweating. What the hell good is that? Yeah, I agree. I'm not saying we don't have to fix our air and we don't have to clean it up and we don't have to get rid of all the fossil fuels at some point, but this ain't the way to do it, folks. And yeah, you know, the cost of charging stations and the question of who pays for them, even at a public facility like, like these condominiums and associations, who's going to pay for it? You have to pay to have them installed, then you have to pay for the electricity. And of course, you're going to pay per mile on your car, because you have to fix the roads, and there won't be any gas tax. You know, that's actually not a bad idea, to be honest with you. The pay per mile as opposed to a gas tax is a lot more fair when you think about it, because you're paying for what you actually use. And a good comment was about people in condos on fixed incomes. You're right, Joanne. 100%. That's the same again. If you're paying for, you know, the gas tax, which is in Pennsylvania, it's about a third of the cost of the gas, as opposed to miles driven. If you're a senior citizen and you're driving the grocery store once a week and nowhere else, and you're paying a per mile charge, you'll pay virtually no tax. If you're one who goes out to your beach condo every week in the summer, takes trips across the country, you're going to pay more. But this is what they're planning, and they're going to implement it, and they know it's not going to work. They know it's not going to work. In their congressional hearings and meetings about this infrastructure bill, they know that these vehicles aren't going to work. Now, they did do one great thing. There is one great thing in the infrastructure bill, which I think is long overdue, and that was money for primarily city buses and transit and trains. So you figure most of the waste is in the city. When you're sitting idling in traffic, you're wasting a lot of energy. So we need an infrastructure revisit. The biggest thing that ever happened, the worst thing that ever happened in this country, was the interstate highway system. Why is that bad? It's bad because what they did is they ripped up all the railroad tracks and put in roads for vehicles, rather than leave the railroad tracks and let the trains work in unison with the vehicles. Now, wherever you go, you got to get in your car and burn gas. And there's no more railroad tracks to run trains on. You know, a small train or a large train for inner city would be great. Save all kinds of energy. But they're not planning on that. They're not planning on these. Remember years ago, they used to talk about these tubes. They wanted high-speed transit between cities that would run underground and go 600 miles per hour. You heard anything about that lately? The problem is they don't look at the reality of these things. And the same thing's going to happen with electric cars. They don't realize the cost to decommission all the gasoline fuel stations and replace them with electric charging stations. The infrastructure that needs to be replaced is all the high tension lines providing power and all the resources for that. Where are you going to get the power from? Windmills ain't going to cut it. You're going to put up solar panels and charge 15 gigawatts of power. That would take up the entire state of Texas. Talk about an environmental disaster. They want to put all these windmills out in the ocean, which is a great thing. It's away from everybody. The winds are always active. What's that going to do to the climate patterns? What's going to happen to the climate patterns when you've got 5,000, 10,000 windmills stopping the natural flow of the air in the ocean? You ever think of that? And that's a real problem. The same thing with windmills on land. The windmills on land are killing birds. And they're changing the flow of it, the airflow. Solar panels, and the amount of solar panels we would need to run the electricity in the United States would reflect so much light back up into the atmosphere. Would change the environmental patterns, change the weather patterns. You don't hear about that. Scientists talk about it, but you don't hear them talking about it either, because the media is controlled by the deep state that controls what we hear and see. They want that feel good. We're going to have a clean, green economy. We're going to do it now. We're the Democrats. We're going to do it. Because the Republicans didn't do it. Then the Republicans bow down to them without saying, look, hey, it is not going to work, because it isn't going to work. It's fluff. There's no way that electric vehicles, there's no way that windmills and solar panels are going to work. There are other options. I'm not saying that we don't need to clean our act up. See, that's the problem with the Republicans. Republicans say, hey, we can't hurt the environment. God created this and we can do whatever we want. Folks, we have about 2 miles of atmosphere. I want you to think about this. There's less. Think, you go to Mount Everest. You go to Denver. You climb on the 14ers. That's the 14,000 foot mountains. I've done it. You can't breathe when you get to the top of them. 14,000 feet. I can climb high enough on a mountain that I can't breathe. And we're chugging all this garbage into the air every day. And yeah, I mean, everything we do, it changes the environment. We need to think about that. You know, there's a lot of people in the Republican Party is one of the most egregious in that regard. They consider we can't hurt the environment. Look at the fires in the West. Now, we had smoke here in Pennsylvania on the other side of the country. Smoke in the air. Blocking the sun from those fires. We had volcanoes. Volcanoes completely changed the environment. We had volcanoes in the 1800s that caused a little ice age. Caused the temperature to drop for years. Can't tell me we can't screw up the environment. So we do need to consider that. But when the alternatives are worse, like drilling for lithium, silver, precious metals, platinum, rare earths, destroying the environment to dig up minerals to make solar panels and windmills. I have a problem with that. And I guarantee you it's just for show, because they're going to say, oh my goodness, and they've done it before. This doesn't work. Now they're coming back and they're going to say, oh, you've got to meet the certain requirements. They force requirements. They force this, the companies to meet certain environmental standards, emission standards. It's unconstitutional. The Constitution says the federal government can control the states. They can work with the states. They don't say they can control private companies and tell them they have to have certain emission standards. They shouldn't be regulating that. They should be recommending that. And the states should decide what they want to do. It's supposed to be the states in charge. They force the states into action by withholding or threatening with the withholding of federal funds. That's just wrong, folks. I want you to think, how many of you out there have emissions control standards for automobiles? Hands up, everybody. Just think about it. Now, do you realize that there's no federal law that says you need emission standards? There is no federal law that says you need emission standards. However, the federal government says we will give you road money for your roads based on whether you meet the emission standards or not that we recommend. Well, folks, that's not a recommendation. That's basically a law. You don't do that. It's what they're doing is just so wrong and so evil. Now, if you watch, Florida, I didn't know that. Yeah, then there's no emissions. Thank God. I mean, Florida's a great state. I love it. If there weren't so many hurricanes and bugs down there, I would move there myself. I love the beach. But watch this. Watch this Green New Deal slowly make its way in. And the first thing is this infrastructure bill. You want to do yourself a favor and look at this bill when it comes out that they're going to vote on. There's probably thousands of pages. You can download all these things and just skim through it. Let me explain how these bills work. When you download a bill, it might be 2,000 pages. And when you read this bill, look for some of these things for this infrastructure. And thank you about that, Ohio having the emissions inspection requirements. Most states have emissions requirements, but they're not mandated by federal law. There's state law. But do yourself a favor. Here's how you read these bills. You skip over the first 10 chapters and cut to the chase. It's the last 100 or 200 pages that has all the meat in it. But some of the stuff in these bills is insane. You realize that in the 9/11 and the bill, the anti-terrorism bill that they put out, the Patriot Act, there was actually a section in there that deregulated plastic toy arrows because they were essentially on a class like a hunting arrow in the Patriot Act. What the hell? The stuff they throw in is incredible. I mean, I'm going to go over this bill when it comes out, and we're going to do the podcast as soon as I can get a copy of this bill that they're working on. We're going to go over that because that's going to be an interesting topic to find out what's really in this crap. They want to plan roads that instead of going being a throughway that goes through the town and through all the bad neighborhoods, and I'm going to use the term bad neighborhoods because you know what I'm talking about. They want to take them and break them up so they actually go through those bad neighborhoods. So that those poor populations, mostly, they say mostly people of color, but there's a lot of white too. I've seen it in Philadelphia. Look at some of the areas of the town that there are some very poor white sections. They never talk about those. But they want to route those roads through them so that they can get people to come through and maybe realize what's going on, maybe bring some commerce to them. Rather than fix the crumbling bridges we already have in the crumbling roads, Now, the interesting thing is when they put the interstate highway system together, it is a great plan to run roads everywhere across the country, get rid of all the railroad tracks and put in concrete for cars. Great plan. And look, it worked. The whole country's full of concrete now. You can put an automobile almost anywhere in the country. You know what they never planned for? Maintaining that monster. The federal government came in and said, here's money to get rid of the railroads. Here's money to put this concrete in. Thank you, Marilyn. And yet they never said, hey, here's money to fix the darn thing when it breaks, when it crumbles and falls to the ground, when the bridges collapse. Look at these buildings down in Florida. You know, they just found two buildings right up here in my own state of Pennsylvania, Northeast Pennsylvania, that were falling apart. They found it because someone said there were rats in someone's basement, and they sent inspectors in because it was a food establishment. And they found the building was about to fall apart. The bridges are doing the same thing. It was funny. There was a bridge. I can't remember the name of that bridge. It was down in South Carolina years ago. I'm not big on heights. Yeah, it's funny. A fireman that climbs ladders, not real big on heights. You figure that, right? A climber. I used to climb. But I don't like going on. I don't like things I don't have control over. I don't like an amusement ride that I know has, as an engineer, I know it has like one or two bolts that hold this thing together. The worst thing is the Ferris wheel. You know, there's one bolt, literally one bolt that holds that tens of thousands of pounds of Ferris wheel from falling to the ground. One bolt, no redundancy, one bolt, one bearing. Well, there was this bridge down in South Carolina across that river. I can't remember what it was. It was actually in a movie, but it was this crazy, crazy bridge. I could feel this. I was so scared of this bridge. I didn't even know it existed. But I pulled over on the road. We were going down to Florida, and I pulled over on the side of the road. I said, my wife said, you got to drive for a bit. There's something wrong. My brain's not working. I feel horrible. My stomach's churning. And she got in the car and she started driving. Well, this bridge came up no more than 2 or 3 miles down the road. And it went up in the air over the James, I think it was over the James River. It had two big humps like a camel. Went up in the air about 900 feet. I looked down and it tilted to the side. So you felt like you're ready to fall off into the river. I almost dropped dead of a heart attack just going over this bridge. And I looked at this bridge, and you could see through the bottom. It's going, and you could see that had the whole slats where you could see through. And as an engineer, I looked at the construction of this bridge. This bridge is dangerous. I was holding on the seat of my pants. We got to the other side. Said, we're not taking that bridge back. I could feel in my bones that bridge was dangerous just by looking at it. Do you know they got rid of that bridge? Oh. Four or 5 years later, like, oh, that bridge is really dangerous. It's about to fall into the river. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thanks for telling me that. Thanks for stopping me from driving over that bridge. I would have definitely died if I drove over that bridge. But that's the way these things are. Nobody looks at them. Some of these bridges are 100 years old. Some are not that old. They're falling apart. And there's no money to fix them. In Pennsylvania, they want to put tolls on all the bridges just to fix them. What the hell kind of a budget is that? Now they want to put electric cars on the road. They want to put these that's the worst. Can you imagine they're going to have self-driving tractor trailers? Do you ever have a computer crash? You know, I've had my computer middle of a work session, middle of a podcast I had at the one time, and it just rebooted. Boom. Pow. Goodbye. You're going to put a tractor trail on the road with a computer with no driver and a computer moving it across the road. Hello, lawsuit. And it won't be until a governor or governor's son or senator's son is killed by one of these things that they take them off the road. They want to have self-driving flying vehicles. Little quadcopters that you can sit in, that they'll come to your house, you tell them where you want to go, you get in them, they fly you wherever you want to go. not. It's the problem is that the kids in, this, in the newest generations are in charge of the world now. You got the 20-somethings, you got the tweens and the teens that are all coming up. They're not being trained to think to, for critical thinking. They'd rather have them think critical race theory. Critical thinking, you need to think of the worst case scenario. You need to think of the reliability factor. You need to think of the manufacturing possibilities. Look where we're at now, where we can't even get chips to put in our cars. You can't buy cars. You can't put computer chips in them. Hello? 1920 Model T Ford? Guess what? You don't need any chips in it. Back in 1967 Studebaker, you don't need to put chips in. What do we need chips for in cars? It's stupid. What do we need electric cars for? I mean, it's just a dumb, the ideas are dumb. There's no future. There's no plan for them. There's no thought put into what's going to happen when these things fail catastrophically, and they will fail. You know, 50 tons of tractor trailer running down a highway at 70, 80 miles an hour, and they want to put them in trains where you get five or six or seven together, take advantage of the airflow, all computer controlled. Yeah, nothing bad can happen with that. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out either. I bet everybody that's listening to me right now thought the same thing. It's a disaster waiting to happen. This is in this infrastructure bill. This is the plan. The plan is a one-world economy, a one-world nation, essentially three countries, basically, because you can't put Russia. Russia and China will never get on board. And I'm going to tell you the final thought for the night. When you think problems, when you think what's going on, when you think about this deep state, who's pulling the strings? It's not Barack Obama. It's not Joe Biden for sure. It's not Nancy Pelosi. It's not even the big business. Big business is has a great part in it. Big business makes money because they bow down to the ones in charge. Who's in charge? Who's pulling the strings? There's three entities pulling the strings in the free world, again, exclusive of China and Russia. The bankers, particularly, you know, Rothschilds and their kin. The Vatican and the British Crown. You know, folks, we are still controlled by the United Kingdom. We know we never gained our freedom from them. Those three entities pretty much control the entire free world. Lyndon LaRouche had some great things to say about that. You get a chance, do a search on LaRouche. LaRouche still has his organization. He passed away a few years back. I had a chance to talk with him many times when he was alive. But, you know, the LaRouche organization has proof and is firmly entrenched in the British Crown controlling most of the free world, even to this day. How does the UK still rule us? The question. Well, we'll have that for another topic for podcast. We'll do a whole segment on LaRouche and the LaRouche investigations. But if you want to do some homework, just type in LaRouche and find their organization. They've got all kinds of downloads and information. And you'll find that they control the world by controlling the banking system. The banking system is controlled through the Vatican, which works through the UK. And the whole banking system is intertwined, essentially run by the United Kingdom. So that'll be a topic for another podcast. But like I said, do your homework. You'll find it very interesting. And the carriage is turning into a pumpkin slowly. So it looks like it's time for another respite until next week. Hey, folks, I really thank you for coming out again. You are a wonderful crowd. We get a lot of the same people out. See if you can bring some more with you. You know, gather some of your friends. There's going to be a lot of interesting stuff coming up. We're going to have the infrastructure. We're going to do the bit on UK and LaRouche will be coming up. So there's going to be a lot of good things coming up as we move along. So let's get a good crowd out. And God bless every one of you. Stay safe. Stay happy. And come on back next week, same time, for Politically Incorrect. Good evening, everyone. Good night, everyone. See you next week.